podcast episode focuses on the fight against corruption and the key principles needed to address this issue. Martin Krautner is the Dean and Executive Secretary of the International Anti-Corruption Academy, an intergovernmental organization and post-secondary educational institution. In this keynote address, Mr. Krautner reflects on the hemisphere's achievements in the fight against corruption and the work that remains, highlighting the role of parliamentarians and parliaments in these efforts. This presentation was recorded during the third gathering of the Parlamerica's Open Parliament Network, Open States for Democratic Governance Against Corruption, held in Lima, Peru, within the framework of the 8th Summit of the Americas, on April 11th and 12th, 2018.
Mr. President, members of Parliament, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues and friends, first of all, I do have to apologize that I'm not capable speaking Spanish, so I hope that you have your translation devices ready so that you can follow the presentation. It is a great pleasure indeed to be in Lima again, and it is also an honor to speak at such a distinguished gathering on the occasion of the 8th Summit of the Americas. So let me start by paying tribute to Parlamericas, the host country, and all other stakeholders for forging and fostering this important discourse in such a prestigious forum. Over the years, I have had the privilege of addressing numerous international meetings devoted to anti-corruption efforts in this region, organized and hosted inter alia in Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Mexico, Panama, here in Peru, and also in the United States of America, to just name a few. This Parlamericas gathering and the fact that democratic governance against corruption is also the main theme for heads of states and heads of government, respectively, at the summit sends a very strong signal, not only to the nations and peoples of the Americas, but to the world as such. So let me pay further tribute here to the Organization of American States and to its member states, including the host country, for this achievement. Anti-corruption and compliance developments in these regions are making global headlines almost every day. And, as always, there are two sides of the coin. There is good news and bad news. I'm talking, on the one hand, about multi-billion dollar scandals such as the Petrobras or Carwash or Odebrecht cases, and prosecutions at the highest level of politics and business, generating huge popular demonstrations, and, on the other hand, about new momentum, new anti-corruption laws and institutions in several countries. These are truly unprecedented times for the Americas, and the world is watching closely. Will this region become a global anti-corruption leader, a trendsetter to admire and follow, or will it be overwhelmed by the sheer volume of corruption news, adding to the crisis of trust and leadership that we are currently seeing all around the world? The answers, members of Parliament, ladies and gentlemen, depends partly on your actions as parliamentarians in these momentous, perhaps even defining times. Quite simply, you might have never ever had a better opportunity to become anti-corruption leaders, become sherpas of good governance within your countries and beyond. In fact, I would put it more strongly, as parliamentarians, as the representatives of your peoples, of your country's res publica, you have the privilege and responsibility to assume this leadership role to help build greater trust between parliaments and citizens, to inspire others to follow you and to contribute to a better world for current and future generations. This is an enormous responsibility for sure, but now is the moment, because eventually corruption is about life and death, and if public services are for sale, then things may happen. Now, I know that many of you here are, of course, already doing brave and valuable anti-corruption work, so I certainly have not come here to lecture you in any way. What I want to do this morning, however, is offer you some perspectives and I hope words of encouragement about how we can move forward together, Viribus Unitis, and act collectively in the fight against corruption. Ladies and gentlemen, I trust all of us in this room can agree that a strong and sustained fight against corruption is critical for peace and justice in a country, in a region. It is the conditio sine qua non for social, economic, and political prosperity, for fair and just societies. As Papa Francisco from Argentina has said, the corruption of the powerful ends up being paid for by the poor, who because of the greed of others remain without what they need and deserve, unquote. So clearly, there is a huge need for leadership in combating corruption. However, as I just mentioned, and one only needs to read the daily news, there is also a global crisis of leadership, a crisis as there is lack of trust in the elites around the world, in all sectors and at all levels. This is closely related to the growing crisis of multilateralism and international cooperation, which is reflected in rising tensions between major geopolitical powers, the rise of a new Cold War, the potential disintegration of formerly stable political environments and alliances, the growing economical and societal divide within societies, the shrinking teleological appeal of the concept of liberal democracy, the surplus of simplistic black and white language in public discourse, the preference for superficial superlatives over substance, and the spread of fake or alternative news at the expense of facts. And that actually applies even for the manipulation of elections. A Bulgarian political scientist by the name of Ivan Krastev and a contributing opinion writer for the International New York Times recently commented in one of his books, and I quote, "What we are seeing today is not a lack of solidarity, but it is rather a clash of solidarities. National, ethic, and religious solidarities are chafing against our obligations as human beings. Unsurprisingly, then, it is loyalty, namely the unconditional loyalty to ethnic, religious, or social groups that is at the heart of the appeal of new populism," unquote. These crises are weakening our collective ability to tackle serious global threats, not only corruption, but also economic and social inequality and societal polarization, climate change, and populism and extremism, to name just three others. But this is not the time to give up or shrug our shoulders and say it's hopeless, things will never change. Conversely, this is precisely the time to roll up our sleeves and redouble our efforts to combat corruption. If we don't, ladies and gentlemen, then future generations will judge us harshly. What's more, there are some quite hopeful signs on the horizon, signs of change for good governance, both globally and across the Americas, and parliaments are playing an important role therein. At the global level, we have the United Nations 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, a roadmap for a better common future that was unanimously adopted by all 193 member states of the UN in New York on the 25th September of 2015. A strong and sustained fight against corruption is essential if we are to realize this ambitious agenda, which I like to think of as a new global social contract. In particular, working harder together to implement the United Nations Convention Against Corruption, or UNCAC, is crucial to fulfilling all 17 of the Sustainable Development Goals. These include, of course, Goal 16, with its explicit target to substantially reduce corruption and bribery in all its forms. Regionally, members of the Organization of American States and SHAPO adopted the first international anti-corruption legal instrument more than 20 years ago in the form of the Inter-American Convention Against Corruption. This convention came into force in 1997, more than 8 years before the United Nations Convention Against Corruption, and since 2002, the Mesicic follow-up mechanism has supported the states parties in implementing the provisions of these conventions through a process of reciprocal evaluations. The Pan-Americans Open Parliament Network is making its own significant contribution to the regional fight against corruption through education and training, peer exchanges, and practical tools for legislators, among many other things. There is also a trend in the Americas and elsewhere towards more effective enforcement of anti-corruption law with extraterritorial reach, including, as one of the first such pieces of legislation, the US Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. This is being helped by closer international cooperation between national legislators and law enforcement agencies. At national level, meanwhile, parliaments in this region are increasingly holding governments to account on corruption-related issues, exercising the sort of checks and scrutiny that are essential to the effective separation of powers. Legislation is also being passed aiming at tackling the huge problem of corruption in the business sector. We have seen this, for example, and to name just a few, recently in Bolivia, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Mexico, Peru, and most recently also in Argentina, where a new law introducing corporate criminal liability for bribery took effect only a few weeks back. Much will depend on how these laws are being implemented. And as we have clearly learned over the past 20 to 25 years, we can't tackle corruption through criminal law and enforcement alone. We also need to invest in prevention, education and awareness raising, as well as regional and international cooperation. So to follow a four-pillar approach. Nevertheless, the passage of such legislation is in itself an important step in the right direction. So there are signs of progress and reasons to be hopeful and realistically expectant. But as you all know, fighting corruption is extremely difficult and often dangerous. We have seen this tragically in some countries on this side of the globe, but also in regions that are supposedly less prone than to corruption. In two European countries, to be more precise, Malta and the Slovak Republic, investigative journalists have been brutally killed since last summer. There will inevitably be further setbacks along the way, and sometimes simply keeping anti-corruption on the agenda is a victory in itself. Yet, this shall be the absolute minimum we seek. So how can we rise to the challenge and responsibility of anti-corruption leadership? How can we maintain the momentum and that we see here in the Americas, provide hope and work towards a better future for all citizens? I would highlight five priorities, each of them equally important. They are inclusivity, transparency, independence, integrity, and curiosity. By inclusivity, I mean working together and calling for joint responsibility with all sectors and all stakeholders to prevent and combat corruption. The participation of citizens and civil society, including non-governmental and community-based organizations, is vital, also in accordance with Article 13 of the United Nations Convention Against Corruption. We have seen this, for example, recently in Mexico with the creation of the new national anti-corruption system and in many other countries in this region. Business has a big role to play too. as recent developments in the Americas and elsewhere have demonstrated. Engagement and commitment from the very top of the corporate world is essential if corruption is to be tackled in a meaningful way. This inclusivity must apply to gender too. So it's great to see there will be a session this afternoon on the role of female parliamentarians in the fight against corruption. So ladies, may you lead the way. Second, transparency is essential for building trust in legal systems and political institutions, including parliaments, and hence maintaining and fostering public support for anti-corruption efforts and good governance. That is why the work of the Open Parliament Network and its close links with the Open Government Partnership are so important. It includes the Open Parliament Action Plans created jointly with civil society in the region, which will be the focus of the first session tomorrow. Independence must be another priority. And here I'm talking not only about Parliament vis-à-vis the executive branch, but also about the independence of anti-corruption institutions in line with UNCTAD provisions, other guidelines and recommendations. Because, and let me be frank here, all these bodies cannot perform their duties if their officials, if their stakeholders are subject to unjustified pressure, constant interference and persistent threats of dismissal or retaliation. This happens far too often, and it seriously undermines the credibility of a country's anti-corruption commitment and regime. Fourth is integrity. I said earlier that parliamentarians, as parliamentarians, you have a responsibility to play a leadership role for good governance. As a matter of fact, this is at the very heart, at the very center of your responsibility for the public good, the res publica. It also means you have an obligation to walk the talk and to comply with the standards and values we all advocate. Mr. Serpent Jagland, Secretary General of the Council of Europe, addressed its parliamentary session in 2013 by urging, and I quote, "Corruption is today the biggest threat to democracy, and it undermines citizens' trust in the rule of law. Unfortunately, too many parliamentarians and parliaments in Europe have immunities that make it attractive for powerful people, particularly those in business, to seek a seat in parliament and to hide there. I appeal to all of you as autonomous assembly to stand up and combat this evil in our democracies, because otherwise we run the risk of losing further confidence," unquote. In a similar vein, I appeal to all of you here in the Americas to follow this advice and foster your role as anti-corruption and compliance Sherpas. By displaying personal integrity, you can further strengthen the ethical culture of your legislatures and act as inspiring role models for your citizens. Or, as the Chinese philosopher Confucius once said, the strength of a nation derives from the integrity of the home. The final priority is curiosity, by which I mean constantly challenging your own anti-corruption thinking and that of others, by allowing for an open and free debate and discourse among the various stakeholders. Pan-Americas certainly plays an important role here by providing parliamentarians with a forum for discussion and discourse and debate and the exchange of expertise and experiences. More generally, I would strongly emphasize the valuable role of education in challenging the negative global developments and sharpening a critical mindset. Indeed, IACA, the International Anti-Corruption Academy, an intergovernmental organization with 73 member states as of now, which I have the honor to lead, regards the Americas as a key partner following a steady increase in our activities in recent years. And just to, in all brevity, share a few highlights with you. In January of this year, students of our 2016 Master in Anti-Corruption class were in Washington for the first in-class part of their module on corruption, enforcement and the public sector, which was hosted by the World Bank Integrity Group Vice Presidency. An earlier master's class did a module in Brasilia in 2016, and in late 2015 we delivered successfully a regional anti-corruption summer academy Latin America in Buenos Aires, Argentina, for professionals from 10 countries in the regions. We are proud that a few hundred anti-corruption and compliance professionals from North, Central and South America and the Caribbean have so far participated in our various trainings, including our master programs. These YACA alumni from 23 member states of the Organization of American States and around 155 countries in total form another strong alliance in preventing and combating corruption. Or in the words of one of our Mexican alumni from the Regional Summer Academy, he was quoted by saying, and I quote, "This was one of the greatest professional experiences of my life and opened networking doors to a vast group of world-class lecturers, practitioners and professionals," unquote. I'm full of admiration for the energy and dedication of the America's students and participants in the trainings and activities and for their desire to act as multipliers in our fight against corruption. If I may quote the famous Brazilian thinker Paulo Freire, and I quote, "Education does not transform the world. Education changes people. People change the world," unquote. Or again, as Nobel Prize laureate Youssefa Masalla said at the occasion of the SDG summit, "Education is hope. Education is peace," unquote. Ladies and gentlemen, like many of you, I've been involved in anti-corruption for quite a long time. I actually started about 25 years ago. And I have learned never to be too optimistic. Corruption is as old as mankind, as humankind, and the fight against it will continue long after all of us here are retired and gone. But too much pessimism doesn't help either. When we wake up each morning, we must have the hope that the situation can improve, and actually it does. And as anti-corruption leaders, we must believe that we can actively or proactively contribute to making things better. Theodore Roosevelt, in one of his most famous quotes, advised us, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, who comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasm, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat." That is what leaders do. They take on daunting challenges, are resilient in the face of adversity, and inspire others to follow them and bring them about change. In short, they make a difference. I am convinced that by working together, we have the power to make a difference in the fight against corruption in this region and beyond. And again, by the end, it is serving our people, our peoples, and it's also about being fair and offering fairer conditions to our peoples. So let us celebrate our success and not be deterred by setbacks. And in a spirit of partnership, let us redouble our collective efforts toward a better future. And carpe diem, and I mean this not hedonistically, but professionally, let us seize the day. At the opening, as I said, on 25th September 2015 of the United Nations SDG Summit in New York, my organization had the honor to address the distinguished forum. Let me repeat my concluding remarks then. Corruption is the antithesis vis-à-vis human rights. It's the venom vis-à-vis the rule of law, the poison for prosperity and development, the reverse of equity and equality. Investing in anti-corruption education and empowerment is therefore the smart way towards sustainable development, safeguarding human rights and strengthening the rule of law on the road to 2030 and beyond. On this note, let me pledge my full support to this conference. Let me again congratulate you all. Let me also pledge my support and my organization's support to the 8th Summit of the Americas. Jaka and all of us stand ready at your disposal, and I wish all of you every success in your future endeavors. Thank you very much. Muchas gracias. Merci and obrigado.